Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to American Statesman Blog Talk Radio, the place where it's all about duty, honor, and country, the place where it's all about being united as Americans. Today is Monday, February 25th, 2013. My name is Sally Baptist, and I'll be hosting the show tonight. Thank you for tuning in. We've got all sorts of things to talk about. The topic of the show tonight is America Destroyed from Within, 2013. We're going to get into how dysfunctional this government is, and it's not Al-Qaeda that's going to kill us. It's the people, many of those that we put in public office, who are truly destroying our country while we stand on the sidelines watching. So we're going to get into that. But before we do that, I want to remind people, especially here in Central Florida, that this Wednesday, the 27th, AAA, the American Automobile Association, is having a membership appreciation event in Winter Park, Florida. The actual address is 783 South Orlando Avenue, Winter Park, Florida, 32789. And for those in the area, that's right on the corner of Fairbanks Avenue and 1792 Orlando Avenue in the Publix Shopping Center. That's where their office is located. And again, this is a AAA, American Automobile Association, having a membership appreciation event, and it's from 2 to 4. I will be there. I'm going to be talking to AAA and saying, why are you not honoring your mission to help the motorist against improper traffic laws and abuse like tolls? For those of you who aren't familiar with AAA's national headquarters, it's right off of I-4 here just north of Orlando in the Lake Mary area. But they literally overlook I-4, and they're getting ready to put tolls on I-4, Lexus lanes. And AAA has been totally silent on the matter. But see, AAA is in business with the state of Florida to sell transponders to make money for toll roads. So there's a little bit of a conflict. So I plan on talking to AAA there and have some information to hand out to others. So I'm encouraging others to do the same if you can. Beat the fact that it's on a Wednesday in the afternoon, a late lunch. It's not what you'd call convenient for many people. But if you can, you can. If not, make sure you call AAA National. Call AAA National's headquarters, which is area code 407-444-7000, 407-444-7000, and let them know that you believe, you know, the least they should be doing for their members is helping to fight the tolls instead of promoting it. And the fact that they are in business with the state of Florida represents a conflict, so they're not truly an automobile association anymore. They are truly just an insurance agency and another vendor for the state of Florida. So this is another part of the problem. The other number you can call locally if you want to call the Winter Park office, which is the one having this membership appreciation event, it's 407-647-1033. That's 407-647-1033. And let them know what you think about their total failure to support the motorist. And as I'm calling the campaign, AAA abandons the American motorist at the toll booth. They leave us stranded out there. They know people oppose. They know it's a bad thing, but they don't care. They don't care about their members. And AAA has over 50 million members, and I'm one of them. So I don't know how long I'm going to be one of theirs, because I call them and I talk to them, and they act like, well, we oppose the tolls. Well, wait a minute. Do you think you're going to tell anybody about that? But, again, they're in business with the state of Florida, so it kind of makes it hard for them to actually serve both masters. So they serve the master of Florida, the state of Florida, that wants toll taxes, wants to sell out our infrastructure to foreign entities. They don't really care about their members. So I hope you can join me, and, again, the address, 783 South Orlando Avenue, Winter Park, Florida, 32789. This is the membership appreciation event, and that's going to be Wednesday, February 27th from 2 to 4. I will be there. Okay, on to some of the other things now. As I said, today we've got the show titled America Destroyed from Within 2013. The fact of the matter is, it's not Al-Qaeda that's going to destroy the United States of America. It's those people that are in public office that are doing it. And, you know, right now the topic of the day is this sequestration thing that's going to happen. It was a stupid thing for them to do to begin with. But, you know, the Democrats and Republicans did it together. Even by Bob Woodward's report, Obama is the one who started this, apparently, and it was his idea, his administration's idea, whatever. And it really doesn't even matter whose idea it was. They all supported it. Republicans and Democrats all went along with it, kept saying they'd never let this happen. This is going to be something held over them so that they would have to do something. All this malarkey, garbage, whatever you want to call it. But here we are because we have a dysfunctional government. We have two totally useless houses of Congress who don't do anything. And we've got a White House that has its own agenda, which isn't pro-American. They've got their own anti-American agenda. So it's no wonder why our country is falling. I mean, we're bankrupt, people. We're bankrupt. And they say they can't cut 2.5%. I mean, it's really a very small amount, and that's not even the real amount when you figure that they allow for an increase of 8% every year. So instead of there being an 8% increase every year, their baseline that they play games with, they're having an increase of 5.5% instead of 8%. So it's not a cut. They're not cutting. They're cutting how much they increase. They didn't cut anything. And they just figure the American people are just too dumb, stupid, too busy watching football games or whatever else it is, occupying their minds on other things, and that they can just do this. And these are the people that are killing us. Al-Qaeda is not destroying this country. It's people that do this kind of crap to us through this government, and, of course, it's we the people who let them do it. I was talking a lot on Thursday's show about are the American people going to have the will to do what it takes to take back this country, to save it, to keep it from total collapse? Are we going to? And to me, there is some kind of a second revolution that has to take place because we're already gone. We don't even have a constitution anymore, not really. When you think about what these people do, what these in public office have done to our constitution and done to our rights and done to our whole economy, how they have sold off this country to their own interest. One world order, everything about it, anything short of some type of revolution, this country is gone. We've already fallen. We have to take it back. And, I mean, the elections, personally, I don't believe that that Obama was legitimately elected. First off, he's not legitimately the president in the sense that he's not even eligible to be president. But because we have two totally dysfunctional houses of Congress who don't honor the Constitution, they never force the issue. So we have an illegitimate president, truthfully. And then, of course, we know about others who want to run in the future. And, well, you know, the GOP, well, they didn't say anything when Obama ran. So are the Democrats going to say anything if Rubio runs? Who knows? So we have two houses of Congress that don't follow the Constitution. We have a White House that doesn't follow the Constitution. So what do we expect to happen? I mean, we're in the mess that we're in because we the people have let it get here, but are we going to have the courage to do what it takes to take it back? Are Americans, and I mean, you know, Americans are going to suffer no matter what. The tough love, the sacrifice and the pain that will have to take place in order for us to get this country back is going to go one way or the other. Either we sacrifice now, make the tough choices, make the tough decisions, cut these gravy train programs that weren't for the people, that are nothing but for the politicians and their special friends. Are we going to force that be done and know that we're going to suffer? Because there's absolutely no reason for the military to be cut the way they're talking about. To go and act like they, and again, it's 2.5 across the board on cuts. But because this is a game they play, because there's nobody there truly representing the American people, nobody in Washington, D.C. is truly working on behalf of the American people or I'll say very, very, very few, the majority are not working on our best interest. They're going to go play games and say, well, we have to take them, we have to shut down TSA. Oh, well, no airlines, no flights, because we haven't got any money. It's just a game they play. That isn't what they have to do. It isn't what they have to do at all. It was Senator Coburn who was out there saying the president should cut travel and freeze hiring. There's so many things they could do. There's so much pork out in the system. But this is all their gravy trains for their friends. They don't care about this country. They're only watching out for themselves. And are Americans going to just continue to let it happen? Are we going to sit here and play dumb, worry about getting a free cell phone from someone that isn't free? Someone's going to have to pay for it. Are we going to just sit here while they totally destroy this country? I haven't made any calls today in reference to the sequestration stuff that's going on, because my congressman is Alan Grayson, not my choice, so he doesn't care. You know, we already know he wants Republicans say he die quickly and all the other craziness of what he says. And then got Bill Nelson, Senator Nelson, he doesn't care. And then we got Rubio, Senator Rubio. Those are the three for Washington, D.C. that I have to call. It didn't give me a lot of faith. But I will call all of them, and I will say this is stupid, and I will voice my opposition to the craziness to let the sequestration go through. The thing is, they should not be allowed to go and dismantle the military, because that's what Mr. Obama wants to do. The White House occupier wants to take the military down. And there's no reason to do that. There is no reason to sacrifice us in that way. All they got to do is cut all the pork out. And I'll give one example here. Her name is Sarah Horowitz, I think it is. Sarah Horowitz. She apparently is a lifetime or a longtime friend of the White House occupier. And she has gotten $340 million tax dollars to set up healthcare exchanges. $340 million tax dollars went to her because she's a friend of Obama. She apparently does not do real good in the insurance industry. There's been, apparently her company has had more complaints in the past 2 years than any other. That was the worst record. But she's got $340 million tax dollars from us. And somehow there's some other relationship with her and George Soros, too. These are the people who are running this country. What do you expect? When they say they don't have money, and right now, health care, Obamacare, it's a disaster. And, of course, unfortunately, we had good old Rick Scott who caved into Obamacare. Now, I saw Scott Walker talking on, I think it was Fox News Sunday yesterday. He's the governor from Wisconsin, and he rejected the Medicaid increases and the federal money. And he said the federal government can't pay their bills now. Why do I think they're going to pay them in 3 years? Rick Scott, did you hear that? Common sense. Rick Scott, you're supposed to be a genius of a businessman, but you sold us out to the federal government. So, and that's the truth. They're not going to pay it. This is just, it's such a scam. It's such a scam. And it's just, it's absolutely terrible what's happening. But what are Americans going to do about it? When I called the show Anti-Americans, I made reference to the real threat to America is not Al-Qaeda. The real threat to America is from the anti-Americans from within America. And so who do I call anti-Americans? Well, first off, the immigrants who come here, whether they come here legally or illegally, who do not want to become Americans. They want this country to, unfortunately, many Hispanics don't believe that Texas should be part of the United States. They want it back. They don't want to assimilate. They don't want to learn the language. They don't honor the Constitution either. They don't want it. They want the gravy, but they don't want any of the responsibility. They want to come over and take the jobs, get the easy money compared to what they have in Mexico. And then, but they don't want to be Americans. They don't like America. They hate America. And we have many people that are in this country now who are not Americans who hate America. And somehow we think that's okay. It's a silent invasion. So we got those. But, of course, my biggest beef is when it comes to those elected to public office, when I call it, say, you know, the anti-Americans, elected public servants that violate their oath of office every day, to me, are anti-Americans. They're traitors. They took a sworn oath to uphold the Constitution. But they don't do it. They refuse to. They sell us out time and time again. Well, those people are not helping America. They are not for America. They're anti-Americans. Anti-Americans, when you totally trash the Constitution, trash the rights of the people, also that you can get more money in your own back pocket most of the time. And you have the group of self-serving Americans who are in public office, who are there strictly for their own gravy train, the pork, bringing home the pork to their own family of lobbyists and whatever else. So you've got those, and that's anti-American. But then you have the others who are truly trying to take down this country and make it one world order. And they're in public office too. There are those, a couple of them from Texas. They hate America, but yet they're both in public office today. They believe America stole Texas from Mexico, and they don't like America. Yet they're in public office. It's despicable. And then the other aspect of this, these pieces all kind of run together. They violate their oath of office. They don't work on behalf of the people. They violate the Constitution, and this is at the federal and state level. Florida, these public-private partnerships, it's out there in black and white. You are not allowed to enter into a partnership with the private sector, but the people, those in public office, they don't care. So what? It's only the Constitution, only the state Constitution. Who cares? And those same people surrendering our rights to the federal government, surrendering state sovereignty to the federal government. I call these people anti-American. But what they're doing is destroying this country. And are they really this ignorant, or are they just so selfish they don't care? You take your pick. But there's definitely a group that are truly believers of Agenda 21, sustainable development, one world order, and that all started with George Bush Sr. He's the one who first signed us on to one world order. A new world order. I've seen the YouTube a dozen times. We're approaching a new world order. The United Nations is going to be the military. Here they are trying to disarm us, which, again, this because they violate the Constitution. What are these people in public office going to do when it comes to the Constitution and our rights to bear arms? Something I was reading from, some say it's Hitler's quote, some say it isn't. To conquer a nation, you must first disarm the people. And that's what he does. That's what Hitler believes. And I'm having a couple of technical difficulties here, so hopefully I can get back to my chat room here in a minute. But the whole point is, people we have in public office that we elect, and the elections are corrupt, so I don't totally say we elect them, but we allow the corruption to continue. These people are not serving us. They are serving their own interest. They are not working on behalf of the people. But what are the Americans going to do? If you're an American who believes in this Constitution, who believes in what your God-given rights, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? And I've got to do something to find out why my computer is stuck. But, so anyway, it is up to the American people to do something about this. The other, and again, going back to this sequestration, it's only 2.5% of the increase. Instead of an increase of 8%, it's an increase of 5.2%. It is not a cut. It is totally bogus and misleading for these people to say it's a cut, because it's not. And this is why I say, forget Al-Qaeda. It's not Al-Qaeda that's killing us. It's these people. These people that are killing us. So what are we going to do? And right now, let's see, what was the other thing here? Oh, there is one other thing. I was actually going to start off on this one just to talk about it because I think it's relevant. One, for last night. Let's step back for two. Last night. I did not watch the Oscars. I have not watched any type of awards show as such. And I don't remember the last time I watched one of those shows. It's been many, many years. And I never did much of it to begin with. But I definitely haven't watched it lately. But, of course, on all the news clips, everything you have to see from the next day, you can't escape it. Michelle Obama was there handing out some award for something. Don't ask me which one it was, but she was up there. And I personally just don't think that's the role of the First Lady. Is that what the First Lady is supposed to do? I mean, if after she's out of the White House and she's on to doing whatever they want to do and they do that stuff, but how much did it cost you and me, the taxpayers, for her to go do that? How much did we have to pay in security and all this other stuff? How much do you think it costs us? And do you think that's what our tax dollars should go for? Because I don't think it should. I don't believe for 1 minute that's what it's about or what it should be spent on. And I don't think, I mean, I just don't think that's the role of the First Lady. I mean, we keep playing games with what these people are supposed to be doing, who they are. I just don't get it. Is this really what the First Lady is supposed to be doing? And we keep little by little changing the role of what these people do and putting them into a status of some type of royalty. And that's not what this country is about. I mean, I happen to believe Mr. Obama wants to be King Obama. But that isn't what he's. That's not what it's about. It's not what he's supposed to be doing. He's not supposed to be a king. We're not supposed to have a king in this country. But there it is. So I'm kind of curious. And right now, as I said, I'm having some technical difficulties. So if anybody is trying to speak on the air right this moment, I apologize. I cannot see you. I'm trying to see what's going on with my switchboard here. Having some technical difficulties. I've been having a having some of that lately, and I do need to get a new computer, but I haven't got the money for it. So if you got any comments, and I'm going to take just a short break here to try to get my computer back online. Please hold on. Okay, well, I'm back. I'm going to just keep talking while this is doing something here. I was talking about the violation of the oath of office. So once again, I go ahead and share the oath of office for the president from the U.S. Constitution, Article 2, Section 1. Before he enters into the execution of his office, he shall take the following oath or affirmation. I do solemnly swear or affirm that I will faithfully execute the office of President of the United States and will, to the best of my ability, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. Well, do you think this is being done? I don't. And that's not the exact oath of office for the Senate, but it's very similar. Do you think they are honoring their oath of office? How many people that are in public office today do you think truly abide by the Constitution? Can you count them on one hand? That would be my guess. Most of them. Any of them that voted for the Patriot Act, any of them that voted for NDAA, any of them that are playing any kind of games with our Second Amendment rights right now as we speak, they have violated the oath of office. They violated their commitment to honor the Constitution. and I call them anti-Americans. Some call them traitors. To me, it is treasonous. It's treasonous, and it's traitors. I would do this. Somehow, some way, I am going to get my machine back up on here. And I do apologize for this confusion. It's what happens when you do live, and also when you're doing grassroots where you don't have a big old staff and all that other stuff. Well, I do apologize. And we will get there. I really do have to invest in another computer. And a reminder again about Wednesday, please, if you can, join me at the AAA Appreciation Day. And here we go, get stuck again. This thing is not being nice to me tonight. The ongoing movement, I did hear when it's talking about the Second Amendment, it was on Alex Jones. Ron Paul was talking a little bit about it, and also on, I believe it was Fox News Sunday, Senator Coburn was on there, and they were talking about whether they were getting close to some kind of background check for purchases of guns. And Coburn seemed to be quite adamant that that wasn't going to happen either, and it's really going down to the fact that they would be able to, when you register these vehicles, the background check equaling some type of registration where they would be able to track who owns guns, who owns what, and stuff like that. And that isn't, again, that isn't what the Constitution's about. So he was actually opposing it, and so I was happy to hear that. And I think I'm almost back online here. Not quite, but I'm almost there. And we'll see who else is out there. Hopefully I can get to the chat room. This doesn't get fixed fast. This may be a short show tonight. But anyway, the right to the Second Amendment, the right to bear arms, the right to have a state militia. We're supposed to actually have a state militia. We're supposed to be able to defend ourselves against a tyrannical federal government, a tyrannical government, period. And it's not about duck hunting. And it's just amazing how many people just don't seem to get that and will not, who aren't protesting it. And then you wonder about these people that are in public office. You know, and I'm telling you, anybody who's in public office who does anything, votes any way to take away our rights to bear arms, the Second Amendment, they are treasonous traitors. They are anti-American, and they are treasonous. They don't believe, they have violated their oath of office. They go out there to aid the enemy, not us. And when I say aid the enemy on something like that, it's a well-known fact. It's established. In Australia, they're trying to tell people, too, that, I mean, also the Australians are warning the Americans, don't give up your guns. We gave them up. Here's what they've done to us. They're a police state. And so the Australians are trying to say, America, wake up. Don't do this. Don't let them do this to you. And it's the truth. And, you know, they act like President Obama, he was up in Chicago this past week. He's doing his, you know, usual tour. He was up there talking about how many people get killed with guns. Yeah. That happens to be Chicago has more gun laws than any place else. I guess it didn't work, did it? But they don't want to talk about that. They don't want to talk about the fact that the massive gun control laws are didn't help. And you're safer to arm the honest people. A person should have the right to defend themselves. But in the other aspect of all this is like, okay, so the drug lords that you were having your fast and furious gun running thing, helping them get guns, not to mention just the drug cartels by themselves and the criminal element in the society, you think they're getting guns the way they're supposed to? You think they worried about registering their guns? You think they did a background check? How stupid can these people be? And more importantly, how stupid did they think we are? that's the scarier part. That they think that we fall for this stuff. It's not right. It's just we have the right to bear arms, and we cannot let them take that away from us. We cannot let these people take away any more of our rights, and we've got to change it. The question is, do Americans have the will to do what it takes? Do we have the tough love that it takes? It's not going to be easy, and we all have to plan on the sacrifice. I've been saying it for several years, and I've had people look at me like I was a loon, whatever. Saying the Great Depression's really coming. We have the Depression of the 30s, that was nothing for what's going to come in order to save this country. We're all going to have to sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of sacrifice if we're going to save this country. Otherwise, we just turn into one world order, and now we report to the United Nations. And it's not an exaggeration to say that. It really isn't. Okay. Let's see here. I am almost back in business. Okay, I see. Thank goodness. I finally have got my switchboard back, people, and I see it. I'm going to go to Charlie, see what he's got to say, and then I will go to Ms. Texas. And I do apologize for all these delays. I'm just having challenges with my laptop. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
I'm doing okay, but my computer's not.
Oh, okay. All right. I just wanted to report one thing that I've noticed, and it needs a little bit more emphasis on the part of the listeners. FCC 99-390. Is slowly but surely getting into the media. And the reason I'm saying that is I've listened to about 3 shows now that have come up and said the media could be in violation of their licensing. That was actually brought up on Fox News and also on a talk show that the media is lying to the people. The administration is lying to the people. President Richard Nixon lied to the people. So when the administration lies to the people, that is President Barack Obama lying to the people. And now we need to make sure that our elected officials take action to stop all this lying. They're lying to us about this sequester, about how it's going to cost people jobs and everything else. It isn't. The whole thing about it is it was all brought on by President Barack Obama and his administration. And they lie about it and try to blame the Republicans for it. That's a lie. We have a lying administration and a lying Congress. It's time to impeach them, and you can do it. The Constitution allows we, the people, to go after our elected officials for breach of fiduciary duty, which means when they lie to us, they are misinforming us. And when they misinform us, that is a violation of their honesty and integrity in dealing with the affairs of the people. And we can do it because it has been adjudicated, and the opinion of the Supreme Court was written by Supreme Court Justice Marshall in 1983. And it basically goes like this. It would be oxymoron to think that the Founding Fathers did not allow for the citizens to sue their government. It was done by the Quinault Indians against the Secretary of Interior. Therefore, that means we can sue anybody in Congress. And the thing about it is, you just have to come up with that one issue. No budget. One issue. Lying to the people. One issue. Lying about failure to give the information to the people regarding Benghazi and Fast and Furious. Failure to pinpoint the person who who set up Fast and Furious. If it's Eric Holder, somebody needs to mention his name. Otherwise, the whole administration is responsible. And that's where we the people have to do it. If you cannot find the one person, you go to the source of the whole problem. That is your right according to the law. And it's only got four little letters with a hyphen called ETAL. E-T hyphen A-L means and others. So, Fast and Furious, the ATF blunder. Who in the ATF is going to lay claim to the death of Brian Terry? Nobody. So, they were taking orders from the administration. Therefore, the administration goes to trial. And that brings about the grounds for treason. Or grounds for impeachment, let me put it that way. And when we the people decide to get off of our couch and do something, we can take back our country. And let me tell you, the media has now been mentioned as in violation by different talk show hosts. For those of you who are listening to talk show hosts, call them in and remind them that FCC 99-390 requires the media, using the people's airwaves, to bring us the news, not the biased news, but the whole news, the truth, both sides of the story so that we can make the proper decision. Not there kissing the feet of the presidents and the congressmen, but kicking them in the backside where they belong. That is what FCC 99-390 means. File a complaint with the FCC and tell them you want ABC's license revoked, CBS license revoked, and NBC license revoked. Mr. Immelt, the CEO of NBC, should not be anywhere near the President of the United States and then lying to the people over the airwaves. They have been covering up Benghazi and covering up Fast and Furious, but they have been really telling how much, 155 times, about Senator Rubio's drinking of water. That, ladies and gentlemen, is not the news. The news was in the content of what Senator Rubio was talking about. This goes on and has been going on ever since President Barack Hussein Obama was elected president. He is no different than any other president, but he has helped bring around a racist divide in this country. He has brought, and the Democrat and Republican Party are bringing about a divide of the population. So if you want your country back, I suggest you look up FCC 99-390 and read the first two pages and then communicate that with your talk show host locally, because some of them may be in violation of it, and then they will have to correct themselves. And once they start correcting themselves, then this country will get back into the way it should be, with honesty and integrity being the foremost product of America. Back to you, Sally. Put me on hold and on mute.
Okay. Let's take care of that right now. Okay, and as Charlie was saying, you know, there is no media. I mean, the media, what they do, they have violated the 99-390 beyond any reasonable doubt. And I was watching Glenn Beck this evening at 5 o'clock, and the Glenn Beck show, on the record, he said For the Record, they're coming up with something called For the Record. That's going to be out there. They're getting into this, the other alternative to the mainstream media, and this is what we have to do. We know there's people doing this all over the country, but it's we definitely got to keep that push going forward to get the truth out there, get the real truth. And these people, their slanted reporting is not serving the public interest. So I did not hear it on Fox News, but I'm glad to hear it's getting out there more and more. And, of course, we've been talking about it right here. I believe it's been probably close to a year now since we had Tina Trenner on the show, and she's in broadcasting, and she's the one who first told us about 99-390 and how we do have the right to go after the network affiliates for violating the rights, and we can go see their public records and all these types of things. The only thing is, she was explaining, if you're going to take over, you're trying going after the network, you have to be able to take over that network, which takes money, and that makes it a little bit bad that way. But you do have the right to go down there and definitely see the records and challenge them on it. And I'm just glad we're hearing more and more about it. On that note, let's go to Ms. Texas out here. Damn Mad Granny Taft. It's opening.
Hi, y'all.
Hey, okay. Well, here we go again. My computer is just playing all sorts of games, but as long as you're out there, we can hear you.
Well, you can't see me anyway, so good.
Missed
y'all last week. I just, things just didn't work out. I got home, did not get home in time to hear you.
Yeah, I saw you out there at the very last minute, and I was pretty much wrapping it up and said, oh, well, we'll take
Yeah, I knew that. I just wanted you to know I was there.
Yep. And I meant to ask, I was going to ask you, is whatever happened with the rally on the 16th, what happened in Texas?
I showed up in Austin. It was really funny. I showed up. I was a little bit, tad bit late, but not bad for 10 o'clock. You know, it's supposed to be 10 our time, 11 yours. And I drove around the Capitol, drove around, didn't see anybody, so I parked the car. And Sally, you got to know me, I just don't care anymore, so I grabbed my little signs and strutted myself down in front of the Capitol and started marching back and forth. But on the way down, these girls jumped out of a car and said, are you going down there? I said, yeah. Well, nobody's down there. I said, well, there will be if we're down there. Okay, well, we'll go down there with you. We didn't want to go down there by ourselves. So I'm going, girls, what's your problem, you know? So they, as we went down there, they slowly started coming out of the out of their cars and out of hiding, I guess you could say. We didn't have the turnout I was hoping we had. We had about 25 people. But we made enough noise for about 5 hours that they knew we were there anyway.
Okay. Well, that's good.
And we had one woman I was really, really impressed. She was, do not know where she was from. I don't know if she was from Africa or where she was. She was a black lady. She was dressed in the Lady Liberty outfit costume. And she stood out there with her sign, Impeach Obama, for 4.5 hours.
Oh, good.
And we had cars honking. We had a guy that had, his voice was loud enough we didn't need a megaphone. And we had, you know, thumbs up, cars honking. We had a guy interview us. He was a, what do you call it? He didn't work for anyone, but he did tapes and everything of news stuff and would take it and submit it to, you know, other news companies and see if they wanted it. So it may be out there on YouTube and we just don't know it.
Okay.
So what happened with you?
Florida, it was pretty much a dead end. I was there, and I mean, I drove around Tallahassee for over an hour, probably close to 2 hours. Never saw anybody else anywhere. And I had, with me driving around, I have the message on the windows. So, and I had the flags on the car and some, you know, different signs and stuff. So people knew that I was there for a rally, but I could not find one other soul that was doing anything. So,
well, they were supposed to have been at the state capitol.
Well, that's where I was at first. I mean, I drove around.
Nobody showed
state
up.
Capitol, nobody.
Hmm. Never, well, like I said, we have people that drove in from Odessa, and that's like a six-hour drive. And we had that group of girls, they came up from the valley down there, and that's a five-hour drive. So, you know, I couldn't believe how far, you know, a couple of them came to be there.
Yep. Well, you know, they put Tallahassee up in the almost in the panhandle there. And
yeah.
So even from Orlando, from the central part of the state, it's still about a 4 or 5 hour drive.
Right.
Too, so.
Right.
So it's, but I still, you know, I expected to see a few people because I had been hearing so much about it, but it didn't turn out that way. So I was quite disappointed. I wasn't expecting any massive crowd, but I thought there'd be somebody there, like you say, 25, 30, something.
Yeah.
But
see,
it didn't happen.
But I figured out most of them, they did not pay attention to the 11 a.m. Eastern time. What they did, they waited and came around 11 o'clock. And then we had some college students that saw what we were doing, went home, made their own signs, and came down there and with us.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good.
So it was fun, you know. We got the word out. We had a few arguments with a few, and that's okay. The cops, they didn't give us any problems. They said even though they were in uniform, they weren't supposed to say it, but they were for us.
Oh, that never hurts. Well, it's good. Well, sounds like you had some success with it. But I didn't see anything. There was only one article when I did a search on the Internet. I saw one article about Colorado saying there wasn't a very big turnout in Colorado or something.
Yeah.
And that was about it. I didn't see anything else on it. And so that was kind of surprising. I was expecting more since I'd been out there.
Well, if I'd had more time on my hands, I could have probably got a few together to go up there with me, which I didn't take the initiative and do, but I just don't have time to deal with all that.
Yep, I understand that.
So,
not enough hours in a day.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I was kind of curious how that went. What else is going on? What are you thinking about all this other craziness and sequestration and all this other...
Well, I had an idea last night. I was going to call into Joe Pag's show, and I didn't have about an hour to hang online and wait for him to get to me. He never did get to me, but it was Friday night. He had a conversation going about, you know, how to get rid of the two-party system or, you know, a third-party system. And I've been giving this some thought, and I don't think a third-party system will ever work, but... The best way to cure the problem we've got, and you've said it yourself, is to eliminate closed primaries. Eliminate closed primaries, period.
Yep, exactly.
And that way, everybody can go to the polls and they can vote for who they want to run. Doesn't matter what party.
That's right.
They can vote in either party. They can register as they want to, but leave the primaries open. And that way you get a more, how do I want to say this, a more comprehensive vote of what people are looking for.
More representation. It's more representative of the spirit and the attitude of the people in general.
Right. It's not just closed down to, in other words, I could go in as a Republican. If I don't like who's running, I think, there's someone in the Democrat side running who is a conservative who thinks would do a better job than anyone on the Republican Party. I could go vote for that person to get into the primaries.
And more importantly, you could vote for a no-party affiliate.
That's it. So yeah, I think, to me, the start, and I might be wrong, but the start is, like you said, the start to curing the problem is eliminating closed primaries.
Yep, I totally believe it. And you know what? If the Republicans want to go have their own convention someplace and do something of who they want to put on that ballot for that primary, then
fine. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, let them put two or three people. If they happen to think they've got three good candidates for their side, put the three of them on there and let them see who's the most popular, whatever.
What primaries are about anyway.
That's right.
I mean, you know, that's what your primaries are about anyway. Any candidates that want to run, and they get placed on the ballot. The next thing we need to do is we need to get the what it costs for someone to run in each state, get that leveled out.
Right.
Because it does not cost the state that much to put someone on the ballot.
Right. And again, when you have that open primary and you get that party mentality, let that be a separate entity doing its own thing. That should not be part of the political process, not that the taxpayers fund.
Right.
We should not be funding political parties, and that nobody should be discriminated against because of that.
And then you have got to get the ability for these states to be able to validate whether or not if someone is legitimately has the right to vote. They can call it what they want to, but if you have to have a driver's license, you have to have some form of ID in order to get a Social Security check. Why in the hell don't you have to have some form of ID in order to vote? Makes no sense. Then the other thing is, and I didn't realize that till after this election. I know I'd heard it before, but I just never snapped it. Why do we have countries who are not states? They have not been ratified as states of the United States. Why do their people get to vote?
Well, in the case of Puerto Rico, they're not supposed to vote in the general. They're only supposed to vote in the primary, but I agree.
They don't care where they vote. They don't have a right to vote anywhere.
I agree.
They're not Americans. They're not citizens.
Yep. Right.
And then our military, we don't even know if the votes from the military got counted this election because Obama tried to get it fixed where their votes wouldn't be counted.
Exactly. How disgraceful is that, to go and give non-Americans more rights to vote than your military?
And then when it comes down to the other problem we've got is when they do a census, they count the illegals in our census, and then they turn around and use that to determine how many electoral votes each state gets, or, and each district in that state. That's totally wrong. You're using statistics on people who are not even citizens of this country to help determine how many electoral votes a state is going to have.
Exactly.
On what kind of representation your districts in your state is going to have according to the number of citizens living in their state. I mean, it's just plumb damn stupid.
And it's all the gerrymandering that goes on. I mean, the elections are so corrupt in so many ways, and that's just another piece of it.
Well, that's what I'm talking about with the gerrymandering. But if you take the illegals out of the equation, they won't be so apt to gerrymander. At least they wouldn't be right now with, if you got the Mexicans and the illegals out of the picture, they probably did the same thing back, before the black situation got fixed, or half-assed fixed, or whatever you want to call it. But I just can't believe we're sitting back and letting them get away with this crap. I mean, what type of logic did it take to come up with these ridiculous ideas?
Well, I think you know my answer. There's always been that element of the politicians in there. And this is why Jefferson said we have to have term limits. It's one thing leads to another. These people, in very short order, they went in there, took the power, and abused the power. And one thing has led to another in the mess we're in today. And it's not about going out there doing the people's business. It's about out there getting reelected, and that's all they're doing. And I mean, it's disgusting to me. It's the whole thing. We've totally lost our way. There's no two ways about it.
And also on the news tonight, this is a different subject, but on the news tonight they had this kid on there. He's not a kid, he's a college student. And he has a bright idea. I don't remember if he was from Texas or where he's from, but he says the best way to fix the gun problem is to give every American who does not have any problems, in other words, an average person, a gun, and let the crooks know it, and you won't have any problems with crooks anymore, which he's got a point.
Well, exactly. Let the honest people be armed to defend themselves. It will make a big difference. And that's proven over and over again. But, I mean, and you would think after I was talking about it earlier, here Obama goes to Chicago. Chicago has more murders, and he's talking about the same fact, more murders by handguns and this and that than any place else in the country, and yet it's got the strictest gun laws. Well, does he not listen? Of course, he didn't mention the gun laws.
Well, he's not going to. I mean, you wouldn't want.
It's just a fraud. It's just another fraud on the people. That's not the truth.
Yeah, you wouldn't want him to say, well, it's not. The gun control thing won't work because look at Chicago. No, he ain't going to say that.
Well, exactly. But how many. I guess that's the part. It's like, how many people are listening to him who didn't know that? What percentage of the Americans really didn't know that Chicago has the most strongest gun laws of any place, gun control?
Well, you bet. Three quarters of the people walking around on the walking out there don't know.
I know.
Because they don't listen. They don't listen to the news. They don't listen, or the news they listen to, they believe in.
But you just think the people right there in Chicago would know. They would. But nobody hardly knows.
Really want that bunch of Yankees to admit they've done something wrong? Oh, did I say that?
but it is crazy. I think it's really interesting that the Australians are trying to warn us, don't give up your guns. And the other part that's so stupid is like, this is, I mean, even if you don't pay any attention to the news, you know, that you're, I don't know, I don't want to say out there in left field, but whatever. Surely you have to appreciate the fact that the criminals don't follow the laws. Criminal, crime, illegal, don't follow the laws. So it's not like the criminals are going to follow the laws on getting guns. People would the criminals get the guns no matter what. So why are you trying to harm those of us who aren't criminals?
Well,
kind of
sadly, three quarters of people out there don't think that way. They haven't even given a thought to where the criminals get their guns for. They think they walk into Walmart, hand out some money, buy them a gun, so they go out and commit a crime. They don't know they go out and knock somebody in the head, steal their gun, and then go commit a crime.
I know, and I keep trying to – the dumbing down of Americans, it's pathetic. It really is pathetic as to what happened to us. I did see something out there today. It was an email that I got. It was in reference to one of the gun manufacturers is not selling guns to the local law enforcement because they have banned the guns for the individuals. I'm assuming it might have been Colorado. Isn't it Colorado the one who's been doing all the crazy stuff on the gun control, gun laws? But they actually said they weren't going to sell guns to the local to law enforcement if they banned the guns to the citizens. And I thought that was pretty neat. I like that idea.
Like a plan to me, you know.
Yep.
The average person can't have a gun, then why in the hell do the police need guns?
Yeah, exactly. Take it away from them, too. And then at the same time, you hear on these Sunday shows and whatever else, well, only law enforcement should have guns. Why do you need a gun? It's like, oh, my goodness.
Well, no, then do like England, put a damn blackjack in their hand. Take the gun away from them. So now, you know, they don't have guns, but they've got all the Muslims over there that, you know, they're going to have guns.
They're going to get the guns they want. The criminal element, the evil element will always get the guns, and it's just so stupid. It's, I don't know, it's so scary. You just keep thinking at some point people have to wake up and smell the coffee. When are they going to realize what's really going on here? And it was Ron Paul, he was on Alex Jones today, and he said something to the effect of talking about the gun control stuff. It's like, they may end up starting a civil war, because Ron Paul was quite adamant, saying, I don't think Americans are going to give up their guns, so they keep trying to pull this, and there's going to be probably a civil war, which, of course, in my own opinion, is what Obama wants. He wants some kind of civil unrest like that. He would love to have an excuse to try to totally take over this country and be King Obama.
Well, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It'll happen. Because there's a lot, too many states are going and telling the feds, look, you're not taking the guns from our people. There's, I forget how many states there is out there already that have told the feds, don't even try to come in here and take guns from you know, our folks.
Yeah.
it's not going to happen. So when you've got the states saying that, I don't know how the feds think that they're going to march in and take your guns away from you when your state's saying, no, you don't have to do that, and people are going to take up for themselves.
But here's the thing, and I think Florida will be the perfect example of the morons in public office. Just as we know from last week, Rick Scott caved into the Medicaid stuff, taking more money from the feds. These states that keep going back to the Fed for money, for any kind of assistance on anything, when they're eventually they end up cowing down to them and caving in, being the cowards, because they're gonna the federal government's gonna hold them hostage to the funding. And I'm like, go forget it. We don't need the money from the federal government. Let's be a sovereign state again.
I'm surprised Florida hadn't already taken their money. Look at how crooked Florida is. I'm sorry. But it's ridiculous what's going on down there in y'all's government. And why they hadn't already put their hand out there and took that money and put the handcuffs and got the shaft stuck to them, I don't know. Maybe for looks. But you should know it was going to happen.
Well, no, I mean, Governor, it was just last week that Scott caved in on the Medicaid. He was going to let the federal government supposed to fund it completely for 3 years and then 90% after that.
Like, yeah, right.
They're not going to do that anyway. But now that he's gone out there and done that, and, of course, they do it on multiple other issues, wanting federal money, then now when they're going to say, well, if you don't do this with your gun control, then we're taking this funding back and this and that, then all that kind of mess. And, I mean, personally to me, I say we're just not going to take the federal money. That's all there is to it. Stop paying federal dollars into it. And when it comes to the gas tax, wait a minute, you're not going to give us our money back from the federal gas tax or any portion of it, and we know we don't get it all back. We're still a donor state. Then we're not going to pay it. We're going to start taking the money we raise here. We're getting for ourselves. We're not going to give it to you, and we're going to take care of ourselves, be what's called a sovereign state.
Well,
you can get people to do it.
I know we've got some out of San Antonio. Of course, San Antonio, they'll take and put it, talk about putting a fence around something. They'll put a fence around San Antonio and call it San Mexico.
Yeah.
Because they're the main ones that are whining and crying about, oh, how the people are being mistreated because we're not taking, you know, the money for Medicare and other crap that they've got to hand out from the feds, and the only reason they're whining about it is because the illegals are the ones that's going to be hurt by that.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's it. And once the states have to take care of their own, get the federal government out of it, then it's a whole different ballgame. It's not free money, as they keep trying to call it, which, of course, none of it's free.
Well, none of it's free.
No, but they go in, and that's exactly what they act like. Rick Scott, you think the money from federal government's free? Okay, I mean, Rick Scott, I can't say I'm too surprised for what he's done. I mean, I just, I didn't vote for him, so I can't be too surprised. And like I said, he was the one who had to take the fifth when he was testifying in some court case about Medicare or Medicaid fraud or something at the different health care places he was managing or something. You were saying he didn't know about it, but he was in charge and whatever else, I don't know. I don't remember. It's been a while since I was listening or getting into any of that mess. But I know he was part of it, too. It's like, you bunch of crooks. That's all you are, a bunch of crooks, sleazeball, scumbag crooks. We want to know why. And people are afraid of Al-Qaeda. It's like, you shouldn't be afraid of Al-Qaeda. You should be afraid of these idiots.
Well, you know, getting off on the subject of what Charlie was talking about, Joe Pags, Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh both last week on their programs, or all three of them on their programs, got off to the fact that the news media is not giving out the true facts on the news, and that's what Charlie has said, and they're beginning to talk about it. And, you know, people sit back and think there's nothing they can do about it. Well, you know, there's plenty of petitions going around for everything. Why not get a petition to make the FCC take a look at what they're doing or they're not doing? But then the FCC is ran by people that Obama has appointed to it anyway, so that's probably pooping in the wind anyway.
Well, and that's it. I mean, the corruption is throughout the government. We have a totally corrupt and dysfunctional government at every level. You know, if guarding the hen house routine.
Yeah.
Media is so in bed with the government that there's no way it can be honest anymore. There, you know, and again, that's why I say some type of revolution. What's it going to take down some of these stations? And truly, the Glenn Beck routine, to me, is one of the best ways to do it peacefully. And hopefully he can continue to grow that piece of it. And then we'll get more people doing it, too. I see Charlie wants to chime in on this. Let me go to Charlie. But it's the truth. We have to come up with the total replacement so that people abandon the crap that's going on out there now. Let me go to Charlie here. Get his mic open. Hey, Charlie.
Hey. Once the people start calling into the FCC and sending notes and also calling the different talk shows, the media, the talk shows can start talking it up in the local area. And you can just use the local talk, like Bud Hedinger, but, you know, he may not say anything about it. But there are people like Jim Phillips and all this type of thing. And I was surprised when I called. Mike Savage knew about something, and he chimed right in, right off the bat. And he's got a national audience. And then when we talked with the Patriot Advocates here in Orlando on Sunday, they also talked about it, and they're investigating it. They said they're going to pull that thing up, and they're going to check it all out. The whole thing about it is everybody, Doreen, you, and everybody else who listens to the show should just go ahead and start calling their local stations and saying it's 99-390. Check it out, because mainstream media is in violation of it. And start getting ready to take action. If there are judges who will go ahead and honor the citizens. There are judges who will try to shove us off to the side because we don't know what we're doing. They're gung-ho legal beagles, I would say. But the thing is we get a bunch of people filing these lawsuits just based on one thing and pick out one item, like Benghazi, ABC, CBS, NBC, just one state, well, the three stations, failed to bring us the full information on Benghazi and help investigate who was behind it and why four Americans died. What did America do? What was the White House doing? What was the president doing? They asked those questions. As citizens, they have a right to know, and it is up to the judicial system, the prosecutors. And if Eric Holder doesn't do it, then we can get Eric Holder being in collusion with the president on something that is criminal or suspected of being criminal, and he has no right to do that. He has no right to deprive the people of their right in court. And this is what we have to do. We have to do it for the families of those who died. I say the only way to do it is to keep talking it up and sending emails out and saying is, check out 99-390, and if you can send out the first two pages of it, that's basically all the information they really need. Contact your FCC. Contact your congressman. You either bring charges up against the White House, or we bring charges up against you. When we start doing things like that, then I believe our country is going to be better off. Back to you.
Well, I totally agree with that. And the question is getting enough people to actually do it. And that means not only making the calls to the FCC, calling the various elected public servants, and calling the networks to say, where's the public records on your stuff and everything else, but
one
getting people to, yeah.
Remember, Terry and I went down to the prosecutor's office. They do the investigating. They have one form. Now, this is the federal court system. They have one form. You go down there and you fill out that form. It is even online. And all you have to do is put your name and all that and get the other people with you to do the second page and say we agree with this complaint and get 26 in the state of Florida. Then you turn around and say, failure of the White House to name the person who denied service protection for our ambassador and three other brave Americans. We want this investigated fully. You can do the same thing with the court system, like the budget. We want to know why there has been no budget by the Democrat Party, or by the Congress, both parties of Congress, for over 4 years. We want to know why. And you give it to them. And if they come back and say, well, that's not in their jurisdiction, just say, you are a federal, you represent it, you see that it's taken up with the higher court. And they can put that on there. If you do not have the jurisdiction to do this, send it to the court that does. And then get a name from the person. Take it down there and hand it to somebody or mail it in. And then follow up on it to see what's happened with it. That is their duty to we the people. We pay their wages. And if they don't want to do our job, the job for we the people, then we don't want to pay them. And that means the prosecuting attorneys. Once people start doing that, it doesn't take 300, 400, 500, although that would be nice, but 5 or 10 people go down there, or 5 or 10 people send it in and say, we want this done. They have to respond to it and then send a copy of that too to the media, especially if you're going after 99-390. You send one to the prosecuting attorney for the investigation, then you send a copy of that to ABC, CBS, NBC affiliates right here in Orlando. They will definitely get the word up to the headquarters in New York. And then that'll start the ball rolling. Okay. Let me back on hold. I'm through.
Okay.
Okay.
For now.
Bye-bye.
Well, anyway, and we did file the case for the budget. And technically, come May 4th, it's going to be a year since we submitted our complaint to the FBI. And I personally am frustrated myself that I haven't followed up on both of those. But truth is, I have not had the time. For a variety of reasons, I have not had the time to follow up on them. But that's the whole point, too. When you get into this stuff, you got to realize it takes time, and you got to keep going back, and you got to keep doing it. You got to follow through on it. So I'm guilty on that one, even though we definitely went out there. Of course, we were so annoyed that the judge tried to say we didn't have standing. Wait a minute, we all owe over $50,000. Yes, we do have standing. So I thought that was outrageous that the judge tried to say that. But just a cop-out judge is what it was. But, you know, if enough people do it, they can't keep denying it. They can act like we were just the gadflies and they, shove us out of the way. But if enough people do it, they can't keep doing that. That's the whole point. Power in numbers, critical mass. If we get enough Americans together, we can take care of this problem. The question is, can we get enough Americans to do something? That's the question. What do you say, damn Ed?
Well, I don't disagree with you, but I do. I'm beginning to get to the point where, and Charlie's not going like what I'm fixing to say. I don't think there's a judge out there that's not crooked, and I'm basing that on what's happening in the Supreme Court and in every jurisdiction that a suit has been brought against Obama to keep him off the ballot and to prove his authenticity as being eligible to be president of this country. Not one judge has had guts enough, if you want to call it that, I have another word for it, to try it, to look at the evidence impartially. We've had some look at the evidence, but it hadn't been impartially. And
I thought we had a couple that were challenging it and were letting it go to the court, and then when they tried to move it up the food chain is when it got shut down.
I haven't across that, so, you know, I'm not on top of it as much as I used to be. But, you know, from what I'm seeing, even in the Supreme Court.
Oh, the Supreme Court, forget them.
And that's what we got. Forget them. Because they're not doing their jobs in the Supreme Court.
Charlie, you wanted to comment?
Yep. I got the form right in front of me. And this is for in Orlando, Florida, but it's available for anybody to fill out. And once they do this, I agree with Doreen, there's a lot of judges. We may find one. They're always looking for a judge who will be constitutional. And the thing is if they're not constitutional, then we've got them on violating their fiduciary duty, which means they could wind up having a court case brought against them and be completely disrobed, so to speak. Okay, here you go. United States Attorney's Office Citizen Complaint Intake Form. You put your name, address, and your phone number, and then your summary of information or complaint. Please be advised that this willful furnishing of false information to a federal agent may constitute a violation of federal criminal with penalties of 5 years in prison, a fine of $10,000 or both. So you got to make sure what you're doing is actually, you know, the truth. And that's all it says. The United States office is staffed by lawyers who represent the United States government and various federal agencies. This office does not provide legal advice to private individuals. While we prosecute allegations of violations of federal criminal laws, this office does not conduct investigation independently of these agencies. Where appropriate, we will forward the information you have to the applicable agency. Please print a brief summary of your complaint or the information you wish to give. Be as specific as possible. Your information may be given to the appropriate state, local, or federal agency for review and possible investigation. If necessary, they will contact you. You may complete the form here and leave it with the receptionist, or you can take it with you and mail it to us. And then there's the address. This should be available in everyone in the Department of Justice. I mean, in every state and every city. There should be...
What's the name of the form again? Is there a form number on it?
There's no form number. It says United States Attorney's Office Citizen Complaint Intake Form.
Okay.
That's what it is. And then it got other questions. Have you consulted any other agency regarding this matter? Yes or no? If so, which one? What did they tell or advise you? That would be nothing as far as our concern goes. And then a matter received is a place here for them to check it for you and all that. And then you can always add, she said, you can always add other information to prove what you're complaining about. People start doing this with the attorney's office in their state regarding the fact that there's no budget, the Benghazi situation, the Fast and Furious, and also the fact that Congress is not investigating enough for getting the information, which is a breach of fiduciary duty on the part of the White House, the Attorney General's office, the Chief of Staff of the White House and all of the administration, and also of Congress. Because when Congress does not get the investigating going properly for the good of the we the people, and we know that there's a problem, and they do not take action against their peers, such as Republicans take action against the Democrats and vice versa, that means they are in collusion with each other, which is a violation of the laws. So the whole thing about it, even though I'm not an attorney, we the people do have grounds to go after them. We just have to get off our butts and start doing this. One or two people sending it in, but just make sure you are honest and it is proof. We have not had a budget for 4 years. So we have not had a budget for over 3 years is what you say. Then that way you're protected. And why is it? And we want to investigate it fully as to who stopped it. And Harry Reid stopped him. So therefore Harry Reid is in violation of his fiduciary duty to do the work of the people. I don't care what party he belongs to. He's failing to do the work of the people. We have to start indoctrinating the people that do this to say, forget the Democrat, forget the Republican. You're going after our representatives, regardless of that. They elected to be a Republican or Democrat and run as that. We, the people, voted them to do the work that we wanted them to do. Yes, we may be Republicans, Democrats, or no party affiliates, but the thing is we asked them to do the job, and we trusted them to do the job, so therefore their fiduciary duty is to we the people who put them in office, not to those who pay for their campaign. Their duty is for we the people and to we the people, and any violation of it means that they are in violation of their fiduciary duty, which, by law, they can lose their pay, their benefits, and B, and other compensatory damages paid back to we the people. Maybe we can bring our deficit down by going after Congress, because they definitely are not worth $180,000 a year, and especially Nancy Pelosi isn't even. They are not even worth $72,000 a year, which is $6,000 a month. That is about the maximum that I believe that they are worth, because they only work 108 days a year. So that's what I have to say, but it's up to the people who are listening to get off their butts and do something and send out emails about this and get people to start filing complaints. You file complaints and investigations, and eventually they're going to get tired of hearing it. And when they come back with a negative, then you go after them for the negative. Why? Because that is your country, not theirs. They are working for you, and you're paying them in these investigating offices of the federal agencies. So I would not say take any no answer from any department, EPA, the Judicial Department, or even the Supreme Court. I would not take any negative answer from them. I would say, I want to know the answer to it according to the Constitution, and I want my Constitution restored to me. We start doing that, and I think this thing is going to turn around, and FCC 99-390 is going to be one of the first things that we have to go after to get our airways back to for the good of we the people. Okay?
Okie dokie.
I'm through. Okay. You can
you
put me on mute, and if anybody wants to comment, I'll listen for a while. Okay, take care. God bless.
Okay. I have muted you, so do the other part if you want to come back on. Push the button twice so I can tell that you want to come back on. Okay, anyway, I agree with what Charlie's saying, but we've got to get people to do it. That's what it all comes down to. People getting off, turning off the stupid football game or NASCAR or Oscar awards, whatever, and getting involved in doing something.
Well, when you talk about getting involved, I've been ignoring calls that came from these different, like, for instance, one of the Tea Party groups. And finally last night I took one of their calls. And, of course, they were asking for money. And this is what I told the guy. I said, you know, I was gung-ho for this, and I'm still a member of the Tea Party, and I still believe in what the Tea Party started out standing for. I said, but, you know, you call here every month or every week, every day, wanting money. Now, my question to you is, where in the hell is all this money going to? I said, I don't see the Tea Party marching. I don't see them out on the sidewalks. I don't see them saying, impeach Obama. I don't see them saying anything. I said, I know you can't get through the news media, but to me, you should have people out on the streets doing something that would be loud enough to attract enough attention to where they've got to say something. And he says, well, you know, we're fighting. I said, what in the hell are you doing? I don't see the fight. And neither does the rest of America. And I know that I'm not the only one that feels that way. I don't mind contributing. I don't mind, and I don't have a lot of money to contribute. But I will contribute, but I have to see something being accomplished. And right now, I don't see anything being accomplished anywhere by anybody.
That's exactly it. Tea Party Patriots is one that I've been seeing stuff out there saying. They're thinking they're going to push us around. The establishment thinks we're through. And, well, but, of course, what are they doing? See, we didn't quite get that money we were going for, so we need some of your money. And, I mean, I understand that you need money to do some of the stuff, but it's like you said, I feel like I don't see them doing anything. I don't see, except the only thing I see is that they're asking for money. When I come, just like with this thing on the 16th, nobody was around. There were supposed to be some deal, some local rallies this past weekend in Florida here about the gun thing, you know, Second Amendment rallies. But I didn't go to them after what happened the last week. I wasn't going to go unless I knew for sure there was going to be some people there. So I didn't go to it that time. but I never saw anything on the news covering any of it. So it's not to say it didn't happen, but since the news didn't cover it either, so that doesn't help. But it's all part of the same thing. But the Tea Party patriots, I know exactly what you're saying. Time and time again, these different groups are out there always sending. You always get emails asking for money. Okay, I've already got some of these candidates, congressional candidates, asking for money for their next reelection. Like, forget it. I'm not giving it to you. And I want to see something done. The ones that I believe truly do something, I do what I can to try to help. I don't see them doing anything. I said, why should I give you my money? And, I mean, especially with Tea Party patrons, some of them, if you say anything against the Republicans in the past, they discontinued your subscription, blocked your emails, and whatever else. Even though it is kind of funny, the Tea Party patriots are going after Karl Rove and everything now for what he's been doing, and they're becoming a little bit more anti-Republican, if you will. It's like, well, you guys would have done that to begin with. Yeah, go ahead.
That was something else I got on them about. I said, the Tea Party sat and got it, and it was Tea Party patriots, as a matter of fact. And I told them, I said, you sat and got yourselves corrupted by rhinos. I said, and, you know, the average person had better sense than to do what y'all did. I said, it makes no sense to me that if you're that damn smart enough to get something going like you did, that you're going to let the very people who has caused the problems infiltrate your little world, your Tea Party, and be able to ruin things as you did. And he says, well, it's not like that anymore. I said, I don't see it. Don't tell me it's not like that anymore. Why isn't it like that anymore? I don't see anything that's changing my mind. You're going to sit there and talk about Rubio. Don't talk to me about Rubio. Rubio's not even, he's barely a citizen.
What did he say to that?
He didn't have much to say. He did not respond to that one. You know, and like I told him, I don't expect you to respond. Just take me off your calling list, and I will contribute via the Internet whenever I have the funds to do it. But don't call me anymore because you're not getting any more of my money until I see something being done.
Exactly. I mean, and that's the other sad part, and this is all true with all these super PACs and all this other garbage going on. If, you know, these people, all of a sudden, you get people to rally behind you in support of a cause, and then they go off the deep end because now it's a moneymaker for them. Now it's a business. They don't have their day job anymore. Now they do this for a living, and that's all they do is try and take money from you. And, I mean, that's the other part of this. I mean, even with FreedomWorks, wasn't it Dick Armey who got several million bucks when he left? You know, it's like, that's ridiculous. That's not what it's supposed to be about. I do what I can to help out with the money for those that I believe are truly doing something. But I'm not going to give money to those that are just playing games and are just out there trying to make their own kind of money. They totally have defeated the whole purpose. The Tea Party became so corrupted, taken over by the Republican Party. I don't know that it can be saved either. I don't think the Republican Party can be saved. I'm not really sure the Tea Party can be saved. There's still an element of it, I think, that still maybe has a chance, but I'm not holding my breath on it by any means.
Well, I think the Tea Party is not a party. That's the main thing you've got to remember. The Tea Party is an idea. It's not
a
movement. Party. And that's what people have to keep in their head. The reason the Tea Party was started can be saved. The ideology behind it can be saved. But people have got to remember and plug it in their little brain that Tea Party is not a party. It's not like the Democrats. It's not like the Republicans. It is a plan of action.
A movement. It's a movement.
A movement.
Not a political party.
Right. And that's the main thing people have to get the gist of. If you know, you want to get involved, get involved. Let's fight to save this country from outrageous taxes like they did when they had the Tea Party in Boston. And that's what we're about.
Exactly.
This idea that you're going to go out there and you've got to have a thing that says, you know, I belong to the Tea Party. No, you don't belong to the Tea Party. You are a part of the Tea Party.
Right. You're an element of it, not belonging, you're not property of it.
Right.
And there again is where these various Tea Party Nation, Tea Party Patriots, Tea Party Express, Freedom Works, even though Freedom Works I don't think is as bad as some of the other Tea Parties, but they've had their share of the same kind of stuff. They totally lost focus, and they all they were doing was surrounding themselves around the Republicans. But that is another thing with Glenn Beck. He's out there really pushing a libertarian or a third party of some sort. He's openly condemning the various things with the GOP these days, too.
Who?
Glenn Beck. Glenn Beck says he doesn't think the GOP has a chance to survive. He says it's just every day it loses more and more influence. And the garbage that Karl Rove is doing, whatever you want to call this conservative group he's trying to come up with to combat the Tea Party or whatever, it's only making the GOP look worse, making it look more corrupt, if you will.
Well, I don't know. I'm really getting to the point with Glenn Beck that I don't know about Glenn Beck. I'm not as sure about Glenn Beck as I thought I was at one time.
Such as?
I think his own agenda is becoming more obvious, that his agenda is about him. It's not so much about this country anymore.
That part, I don't, you know, I can see the temptation of any of this to go to someone's head. And we've said plenty of times here, you know, the root of all evil, the greed's root of all evil. At the same time, though, what I listened to today with Glenn Beck, trying to change the news media. He's saying the exact same thing we're saying, think about it. If you had the money or the means, and you're on the same page as we are, that the media is lying to the people. The media is a big part of the problem because they don't properly reflect the truth. They don't report what's really going on. They play these games, and you know it's wrong. What would you do if you had the money? What would you do to fix it? He's out there promoting an alternative to mainstream media, news media, and he's going out there by putting the thing out there on Dish and or DirecTV, whatever it is. Putting his own. Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying. So he's out there trying to replace the mainstream media as that part of that solution.
Well,
and I happen to think that's what we have to do.
I was going to say that would be the thing I would do, but I would think Glenn Beck would have enough money and enough supporters. Why does he have to try and use a Dish Network to accomplish that?
Well, Dish Network was a way to get into everybody's house. It was the way to, what do you want to call it, stream it across the country. Now, getting a local network, so something he could broadcast there in Dallas would be one thing. He could do that probably on his own. But if you're trying to reach the national audience, which is what he's trying to do, then I think you have to go to that next level of cable or whatever, satellite, so that you can broadcast it nationally. And, of course, he started strictly on the Internet, so his first option was the Internet.
Right.
I
got what you're saying now. Okay. I was being a little dense there. Oh, well.
No, but I mean, I see people talk about, you know, Glenn Beck's own agenda and this stuff. You know what? I mean, if he's going out there helping to get the true news out there and changing what's going on in the news media, plus he sells a few books and makes some money, I'm not going to condemn him for making money. I think that's what we're supposed to do, but is his focus still on getting the real news out there? And I think it is. And the fact, you know, he was not a big fan of the GOP to begin with, this past election, but he was out there saying he really thought Romney was the best chance or the best solution, whatever. So he played into the political party arena again, but I don't know that he's going to do that again. He's been downplaying more and more the GOP. And he's saying right now the options are Rand Paul. He never says Rubio. Rand Paul. What's the guy from Texas? Cruz?
Cruz isn't an option either because he's not a U.S. citizen, natural born citizen.
Well, he mentioned three Tea Party type candidates, such as Rand Paul. I'm trying to remember. He mentioned a couple others. Rand Paul is the one that caught my attention, but he did mention a couple of other of.
And 10-1 Cruz is one of them. But again, why they keep ignoring this? You know, he is not a legitimate natural born citizen, and why they keep ignoring this part of the equation, I don't know, but they do.
Well, to be honest, like myself, I know I have heard it now that you're mentioning. I know I've heard that in the past, but I hadn't forgotten about it myself. But I send an email to Glenn Beck and tell him, you know, he can't run, right? Why don't push for a non-naturalized citizen to run for president if they can't be president?
No,
we already had one illegitimate president. We don't need to have another one.
Okay, it's not naturalized. It's natural born.
Well,
natural born. Big diff. Natural born means that your father or your mother was already a citizen of this country. In other words, both parents are citizens.
Yeah, that's what it is. Naturalized is what I see out there all over the place.
But that's not it. It's natural born. Naturalized is, how do I say it? Isn't that what they call it when you become a citizen?
No. Well, and that's where there's the one other thing, and I've read it out there before. I'd have to go try and pull it up, and I think I even talked about it on one of the shows. Naturalized citizen, for Rubio to be a naturalized citizen, one or more of his parents had to have been citizens at the time he was born. And
both parents have to be citizens.
Well, I've read that it only had to be one. So
both parents have to be citizens. But if you have one that was not born in the United States and they become a citizen of this country, they have to become citizens of this country prior to the child's birth.
And that's the part that I have seen. And that's why neither of his parents were American citizens when he was born.
No.
So he's not eligible. That's all there is to it. There is no question he's not eligible.
And you know, and there's plenty of people out there that don't understand the natural born citizen. And in fact, even the news media doesn't understand it. And, you know, I'm going, then look the damn information up. If you don't know it, learn it. You know, don't sit out there and act like it is a foreign tongue and something that, you know, doesn't exist. Because our founding fathers were geniuses. They did what they did with the natural born citizen thing to keep people who have other agendas from becoming president of this country. And we're acting like it's a mortal sin because they were smart enough and thought far enough ahead to realize that there would be people out there that wanted to come in here with their own agendas and take over our country.
Exactly. The reason for doing it made perfect sense, and it still makes sense today. Why would you go and elect somebody from an Islamic radical, if you will, to be the president of the United States? No, you're not. You know, they come over and they become a citizen in so many years. No, that doesn't mean they should be eligible for the presidency. So the whole reason why they did it, to me, made perfectly good sense. But you can't. Most people don't seem to want to accept that. They're saying, I just took a quick look at it, they're saying Bobby Jindal is not eligible either.
No, he's not.
He was eligible, but I didn't know that. So that's and I always liked Bobby Jindal. I thought he would be good, but I like what he says and what I've seen him do over the past few years in Louisiana. But they're saying he's not eligible either.
I couldn't believe that people in Louisiana were actually smart enough to elect a man that brilliant to be there. Be their governor,
well,
huh? Because the majority of them, and I'm not saying this to be rude or ugly or tacky about them, but the majority of the French people over there, I think just like the rest of the politically correct world, you know, hey, he's a good old boy, vote for him. Doesn't matter if he's a crook or if he'll, you know, st- steal your grandmother's underwear off of you, but he's a good old boy, so elect him.
Well, I've worked with people in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, so I've seen some different people there.
You know what I'm talking about, and I love them.
No, I mean, I never thought they were that clueless. The people I've dealt with were quite intelligent.
Well, they are, but I'm not saying they're not intelligent people, but they like to party, they like you, and if they like you, they like you. In other words, there's no ifs, ands, or buts about where their thoughts or their loyalties lie when you make one of them a friend.
Well, and you know, what's the expression about down in Louisiana? They don't waste anything. They cook everything. They don't, nothing goes to waste. And
yeah, what don't eat them first? What doesn't eat them first? They kill it, need it.
So there's different things like that. But then, of course, there's plenty of people who make jokes about Texas, too. And Lord only knows all the jokes they make about Florida.
Well, I don't mind the jokes. You know the old saying, there's too many people trying to be politically correct. I look at politically correct this way. If you can't laugh at yourself along with other people, then what in the hell can you laugh at?
Well, and that's the whole point. If it's just done in good humor and it's not truly disrespectful, and it's not a matter of being disrespectful. But that goes back to what Ben Carson was saying. It's politically correct is killing us. The politically correctness of this country is another big, major problem we have, because people aren't allowed to be honest anymore.
Well, they're afraid to be honest anymore. That's like if you watched the Academy Awards last night. Guys up there trying to tell jokes. Comedians are even having a hard time telling jokes anymore because people are being too damn sick. Oh. Well, what did he say that was so? Oh.
I don't know. I didn't watch it, so I don't know.
It happened several times, and what the guy said was funny. But people acted like he had committed mortal sin.
Yeah. Well, I didn't watch it. The only thing that I know was Michelle Obama was there because they showed that about 50 million times on the news. And then the one lady, which I don't even know her name, who was going up the steps and fell and whatever, and she tripped over her dress, whatever. She stumbled up the steps. And I couldn't even tell you who she is, I mean, because I didn't pay that much attention. I just know that they were saying something about her having her problems with the gown. And I don't think she'll ever wear that type of gown to an event like that again.
Well, yes, she should. See, and here we go again. She's inexperienced because nobody bothered to teach her the correct way to go up a set of stairs with a long ball dress on. And to me, that's something that every woman should know. You never know in your lifetime when you're going to have to go up the stairs with a long dress on. You fall and bust your butt when you don't know what you're doing.
Well, she definitely did stumble on the way up, and I'm sure. The gown she was wearing definitely was one that was more problematic, I'll say.
Sally, I'm going to disagree with you. If she's big and bad enough to act in a movie and act like she's a grown woman, which she's not, she's too young, then she ought to be big and bad enough to ask someone, how am I supposed to climb a damn set of stairs with this thing on?
Well, and I mean, I'm going to give the benefit of the doubt that she probably has had someone tell her how to do that, but the moment being, with all the commotion going on and having won something and this and that, she probably wasn't focusing on the gown as much as she should have.
That's right, but there's no reason for her not to put on another gown like that.
No, I didn't say no. This was a gown that was very full. I'm just saying it was more problematic than other long gowns. I guarantee you, many women would not have worn that type of gown on something like that, just because of trying to go up and down those steps. There is a better choice.
Not me.
She could definitely wear a gown. I just wouldn't suggest you wear that tight.
Not me. I would have worn it with bells on. And it's down to women being women again. Get out of the damn jeans and get out of the damn pants. Put the damn clothes on and learn how to be a woman again. Be feminine, be graceful, and be a woman.
Hey, well, you do realize whenever we finally meet face to face, I expect you to be in a gown with those pumps on, and we're going to see you go up and down the.
Oh, I didn't say that. I can get out of these jeans and these tennis shoes and still be a woman. I can walk circles around Elizabeth Taylor. In the long gown, that is.
Well, that's quite all right. I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to have a good time if we ever get to meet you.
We are. Sooner or later, it's going to happen.
Yep, sooner or later.
Sooner or later, it will happen. So, anyway, what are the things that are going on right now? We're talking about the core of what I was talking about tonight. Al-Qaeda isn't what you have to fear. It's these morons that are in public office. And what they're doing with this sequestration thing, this is a whole other thing. It's so stupid. They're killing us. It's these people who are in public office that are killing us. Do you not understand that? When are Americans going to do something to stop the insanity of these morons that are in public office? And when are we going to do something serious to change? And, you know, the peaceful way, go out there, go get all these people to go down there, file. I think it would be so neat if you have 1,000 Americans actually have the courage to go down there and file a complaint about the federal budget. File a complaint about Benghazi. File a complaint about the sequestration stuff. File a complaint that they're trying to threaten the military. Go down there and file it, because these people have violated their oath of office and violated their duty to this country. And to me, many of their acts should be called treasonous, and they're traitors and treasonous actions.
Well, the only time this is going to stop is when people stop living with the give me attitude that everything is owed to them and they don't have to work for anything.
Well, this is true. Get rid of the me syndrome that government is here to feed you, because that isn't what the role of government is, not in a free society.
Nope, that was your job of your mom and dad when you were little, but now that you reached, and they've changed the age to 18, and that's too young to declare someone an adult. I'm sorry, they can say what they want to. But when you become 18 years old, then your parents should treat you like the mama bears do. When the cub gets old enough to go out and take care of himself, he gets booted out of the den. And that's what these parents need to start doing. I'm sorry.
Well, this is true. But at the same time, look at, it's just like anything to do with raising a child. The government keeps trying to come in and take over what you're supposed to do. And raising, in fact, actually getting closer and closer to try and take the child away from the mother to raise, or the family, to raise them in some kind of public facility. More and more that's trying to help it happen. I do think it's been good that we've had more growth in homeschooling than what we had in the past, and I think that's such a big plus. And Ron Paul is even pushing that, too. He's got something out there where he's helping to push for to more homeschooling, because we've got to get back to what the true history is and what should be taught, not being brainwashed and indoctrinated by the public education system.
Well, I don't know if you've been paying attention to some of this stuff that is coming up that they're trying to get passed for these kids in school, but that's exactly what it's coming to, the fact that these kids are going to be put in school, and the government is the only one that's going to have anything to say about what they're taught. And if these parents don't wake up and realize this and not just scream for homeschooling, they're going to have to get these laws and get some of these states on their side to realize that the government's planning on taking their kids away from them. I'm sorry.
Yeah, exactly. I've heard that same thing. That's exactly what I'm talking about, where you're not going to be raising your own kids. It's going to be the government. It'll be worse than China. I mean, it surely will. It'll be worse than China.
Well, they're talking about in the high schools now to eliminate courses for going to college and just teach as though they were in technical school or for blue-collar work. I heard that on the radio the other day.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. Trying to control the knowledge base, control the society, control the people. It's where we're at.
Now, if you play their desire to get an education, then you don't have anything to worry about. You're home scot-free.
I mean, I think I don't think everybody should be pushed to go to college, but they should be motivated, encouraged to do the best that they can and to seek some other education, whether it be a tech school after high school or whether it be a college kind of thing. That's whatever that would be. But it shouldn't be the government taking control of it. It just shouldn't.
Well, I'm going to ask a dumb question here. I remember when I went to school. Now, I know a lot of things have changed, and I didn't realize how much. But when I went to school, you had two options when you went into high school. You could either study at the level that you wanted to be able to get your college credits to go to college, or you can take a non-college study where you didn't have to have as many accredited points in order to graduate to go to college. Now, are they not doing that anymore?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I don't know what they're doing today, but I know what you're talking about, where if you were heading towards college, yes, your electives, so the elective classes is what we called them. Your electives, you could take something that was more auto shop or repair mechanics or whatever, if that's really what your interest was, versus more academic classes that would be more for college. If you're going to college, make sure you take calculus and this and that and whatever, trig, trying to take other math classes and things that would be more in line with a college student. If you weren't and you were going to go to some kind of tech school or you wanted to be into auto mechanics or whatever, then you would take some other classes, the electives. So, I mean, I remember that too, but I don't know if they're still doing that today or not.
College course, you had to take certain subjects. You didn't have a choice.
That's what I'm saying. If you were going to college, you had to take these certain classes.
These were classes that you had to take. You didn't have a choice about it.
If you were going to college.
That's right.
Yeah. If you weren't, they were called electives. If you're going to college, you have to take these other classes for college. If you're not going to college, you could take something different instead, such as auto mechanics or something.
Right. There were still certain things you had to pass and certain accreditations you had to get, like your math, your English.
Yes.
You didn't have to take foreign language. You didn't have to take algebra, trig. You know, it was just an easier study plan. But you still had certain limitations, certain requirements you had to meet to even be able to graduate. And I'm asking myself, are they making these kids do all this testing whether they want to go to college or not? Is this what's wrong with our schools?
Well, the curriculum has definitely changed in so many ways. And there's other people who are much more into the education thing who could answer those questions off the top. But we know, like when I was going to school, we took business machines and things like that. But you didn't have a computer lab at school. You know, they may have had computers in the offices for some of the stuff, but when it came to the students did not go and study any kind of computer programming or computer languages or how to use a computer. I mean, none of that was at school. That was just getting into the home and the offices and the administration. Administrators had computers and stuff, but not the classes. So now, you know, they have to take some kind of computer class. I mean, so yeah, the curriculum has definitely changed to some degree. And of course, we keep knowing they keep pushing history. They don't want people to know anything about history or what their rights are.
Oh my God, are you that much younger than me?
Oh.
I I was sitting in the classroom where they told us about this newfangled thing that was invented called a computer. And if you were smart, you would go to school. You'd have to go to California to do it. But you would go to school to learn how to work on one of these newfangled things because they were going to replace all the paper. There would no longer be any paper needed. So you hear that, yeah?
As soon as I got out of high school, I went into a computer tech school along with college because I saw the computers, yeah.
I don't even remember a computer tech school being offered anywhere when I graduated.
No, that was one thing. As soon as I went in, I said, no, I'm going to make sure I took business management, business administration as a major with a minor in computer science.
See. I am so mad at you.
They had electric typewriters. They had no computers.
The only people that had electric typewriters were the ones working in the office. In the oh, mercy.
Anyway. No, and I mean, that was definitely one of my better decisions as soon as getting out of high school to start studying the computer stuff and being knowing that was what the jobs were going to be. So that has definitely helped me. And that's why I work in IT today.
Like I said, I'm mad at you.
I'm sorry.
No, you're not.
No, you're right, I'm not. I'm not that politically correct. Yeah, that was, I think you were saying something in that chat room about being politically correct. No,
right.
I'm not politically correct either. Well, we are down to 3 minutes. Last words. What's your farewell for tonight?
Oh, my farewell for tonight. Get out your signs or go on the internet, WND, buy your $1 impeach Obama sign, put it on your car. The more signs out there, the quicker this might take place.
That's right. If you think it, say it. Well, sort of.
kind of.
Yeah, sort of, kind of. Yes, if you oppose what the government's doing, use your freedom of speech and let them know. That is that. That's all there is to that piece of it. And the other is just one more reminder for those here in the Orlando area. Please join me on Wednesday at 783 South Orlando Avenue in Winter Park, Florida, 32789. And yes, it's Orlando Avenue in Winter Park. It's really a crazy road. As soon as you go into Winter Park, the name changes from Mills to Orlando Avenue. What does that tell you about Orlando? And this is the AAA, American Automotive Association, is having a membership appreciation event on Wednesday from 2 to 4. And I'm gonna be there to ask them why they don't do as their mission statement. Why are they not helping to fight the toll roads? If they're really just an insurance agency, then they should not be calling themselves an association anymore. And do they not see a conflict of interest when they're in business with the state to sell transponders for toll roads? So I'm going to be there, and you can call the national headquarters, and anybody can call AAA, whether you're a member or not, you can call their national headquarters at 407-444-7000, that's 407-444-7000, and let them know that you believe they should be helping us fight the tolls. They should be doing as they're supposed to for their members. American Automobile Association is Americans with Motorists, American Motorists. And here for this particular event, if you want to call the local office, it's 407-647-1033. Yes, ma'am. Did you say something?
Nope, I didn't.
Okay.
Then I'm reading my mind because I was wishing I lived in Florida. I'd be there with bells on.
Oh, I know you would. But check it out. Make sure there's not a AAA membership event, appreciation event going on locally. They do these all over the country. So check it out when you have one locally and make sure you go to it and get in their face and call them. Ask them what they're supposed to be doing. Why they say they're against tolls, tell them to do something besides tell you that on the phone. And on that note, we do have to wrap it up. Thank you for tuning in. I will give you a full update on Thursday how the event went. And as always, please be united, be Americans. Please, please be involved, work together, and may God bless and protect the USA. Good night, everyone.